Hi there, thank you for joining us on the Postcast, brought to you by Tote Fancy. It's a grand national special. Yes, the Aintree Spectacular is upon us. I'm Bruce Millington, and in the company of Tom Park and Graham Rodway, my Racing Post colleagues, as well as Jamie Benson from Tote Fantasy, we will be looking at all the angles possible on the great race, hopefully bringing you some terrific, useful betting advice. We'll also cover the rest of the ITV card, any other weekend winners the boys think will materialise, and then we'll have a crack at the Tote Fantasy. I had last weekend off the Postcast, and look what goes and happens. You win money on Tote Fantasy. There's a clue there. Right then, without further ado, let's talk about the Grand National. I'll give you the latest prices. Really, really lively market. And the big news in the last couple of hours is that Ain't That a Shame, ridden by Rachel Blackmore, is the one for money. Currently, if you look at best prices on the Racing Post app or the racingpost.com pro card, 8-1 joint favourite with Delta Work. And then we've got Corrock Rambler at 9-1. Noble Yates, the defending champion, is 10s. It's 12-1 Galliard de Maynil, 14-1 Any Second Now and La Milos, as well as Mr. Incredible. The Big Dog is 16s. So's Capodanno and Longhouse Poet. It's 20 Galvin, 20 Vanillier, 20 Hour Power, 25 Lifetime Ambition, 33 Cocoa Beach, the big breakaway back on the lash, and 40 Bar. As always, 40 runners. The going is currently good to soft. We're all set for a fantastic race. And G-Rod, we will start with you. What is your main thought in terms of where the National Trophy will be heading?
Yeah, really looking forward to it, Bruce. Great week, isn't it, this one? And probably the best race of the whole year to watch, isn't it, from a punter's perspective. What an exciting race this always is. I think that very difficult to choose between Delta Work and Galvin on their run at Cheltenham last time for my first pick. I just think that they both went through that race very, very nicely. However, I did think that Galvin shaped the better of the pair. I mean, I'm looking through road-tinted glasses because I did back Galvin that day. But I thought he travelled and jumped beautifully through the race. And just done up the running by Delta Work on testing ground. Now, of course, the ground is going to be a bit of a talking point, isn't it? Because we don't really know what's going to happen still, do we? I mean, I just spoke to our old colleague Nicky Watts, and he's down at Aintree today, and he was telling me that it's absolutely pouring down there now at Aintree. However, I looked at the forecast and I see 16 millimeters of rain for tomorrow, but all from 6 p.m. onwards. So who knows what's going to happen? I mean, if the rain gets there earlier, it could be soft. If it stays dry, it could be quick. It could be good, couldn't it? They probably won't be quick, but it could be good. Anyway, if it's good ground, I think Galvin can reverse the places with Delta Work, because I thought he was just done on more testing conditions that day. So in a long sort of
winded... give him weight though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got to give him a lot more weight this time, hasn't he? He's got to give
£7.
That's right. Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, this is another thing, isn't it? The trends, the recent Grand National trends, of course. You know, there's people who've got these systems, haven't they, that have had for years and years and years. You can't back horse over this weight. It has to be this age, and it has to have run this many times and all this nonsense. Essentially, it's a different race now, isn't it? You know, last season was won by a novice, a seven-year-old. I just don't put a lot of stock in it, to be honest. I just think that it's a unique test, and the best horse on the day will come out on top, but I'm not too worried about the weight that he has to give him. So in a long-winded way, I think I've said that I like Galvin as my number one selection.
OK, we'll get the rest of your Grand National thoughts in a minute. But next we'll go to Tom. So, Tom, G-Rod's opened up with Galvin. Do you agree with that, or are you going to look elsewhere?
Yeah, it's interesting that Graham mentions the trends and stuff. I did a piece the other day for the Members Club where I kind of looked into the trends. Tom Siegel wrote a very interesting piece in the Weekend of this week where he kind of said that he's finding it really difficult in recent years to actually understand what's going on in the Grand National. And Nick Watts, who G-Rod just mentioned, I've been chatting with him as well. He's a very good judge when it comes to the National, and he said he's along the similar lines. Now, I've looked back at the trends, and it seems there was a shift since Pinot de Rey's win in 2014. He was the 26th winner since 1975, which is 38 races to win aged 10 or older. Since then, all the winners have been younger than 10. That streak's not happened since the war. Last year, Noble Yates became the first seven-year-old to win since the war, and he was a novice. Now, it seems like every year we come into the race and it's like a seven-year-old can't win, a novice can't win, Tiger Roll's too small to jump these fences. Things have changed so quickly, and big changes to the fences, to the way that the conditions of the race, to the handicapping of the race. And I just think that punters are perhaps just lagging behind. You know, us punters are a little bit stubborn and like bringing our trends up to date. So I am looking at young horses and I'm looking at horses that are a little bit less exposed than perhaps winners of previous. And my number one pick is Our Power. Look, I'm treating it a bit more like a bog standard handicap chase. These fences aren't as difficult to jump as they once were. He's looked really progressive this season. At Kempton last time, I just thought it was a really, really good performance. The Skeltons after the race, who the Skelton trained Phlegmatic the second, they were absolutely distraught that that horse had got beat. As if it was like, no disrespect to the Coral Trophy, but it's not the Gold Cup. And it was as if they'd just been chinned in the Gold Cup at Cheltenham. That's how like upset they were. And I just think that they clearly had that horse laid out for the race for a long time. Our Power beat it. And at first glance, it looked like he was kind of being bustled along from a long way out. But if you watch the race back, he gets one crack with the Persuader in the running, just once. It's all hands and heels. And then he gets past Phlegmatic and he just idles a little bit. Few people are questioning his stamina, but I just think he was... Perhaps he just idled as soon as he hit the front. And as I said, he was given a really easy time of things, considering, like, they drew 11 lengths clear of Frodon. So I think that form is really, really solid. He's £6 well in on figures. Obviously, he's £2 out of the handicap, so he's still £4 well in. But I just think he's at least a 150 horse, which gives him another £4 or £5 on top. I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. And for that reason, he's my number one pick.
Thank you, Tom. So both the boys have gone with 20-1 shots. Graham Rodway with Galvin and Tom Park with Our Power. Jamie, who's your number one pick?
Well, I'm slightly returning to the scene of a previous pain point, and I'm going to tip again Longhouse Poet. He was sixth in this last year. He comes here for the exact same mark, which is encouraging because he travelled so well throughout that, and hence the pain, because I was starting to get rather excited only for him to fade away late and be beaten 34 lengths. He's had a very good prep this year, arguably a better prep. He came into this last year off a bit of a beating by the Devil's Coachman. He comes here off a win this time, and Martin Brazel is the master of these big target training feats. I mean, he won this with number six Valverde with a who previously that season had won at Goran Park, had won Thursdays. That was last year. This is this year. He might not repeat exactly what number six Valverde did, but he's certainly handicapped to go close. Martin Brazel gave a really interesting bit of commentary about this, where I think it was on Luck on Sunday, and he was asked, you know, he didn't stay last year, you know, will he stay this year? He said that the horse was having so much fun, enjoying himself. And he said maybe the little lad on top was enjoying himself a bit too much as well. So I suspect you can imagine, you can expect a slightly more reserved ride from probably JJ7, I think, who gets the leg up. I just think everything is primed for him to have a monster run. I'm not really one for trends, but I'm sure he fits a lot of them as a nine-year-old off 11 stone. So yeah, I really fancy for him this for him in this. Blimey, I'm so excited I can't even get my words in order.
Excellent. That's what the National does to you, Jamie. Longhouse Poet 16-1. I'm going to throw one in. Normally, I just know my place and shut up and let you lot give the views. But I really, really like one. And Parky, it's a little along your lines. Young, progressive, unexposed. This one, Irish trained. And let's not forget that since One for Arthur, there hasn't been a non-Irish trained horse in the first three. This horse, Velvet Elvis, lads, 40-1. I think he's got a fantastic chance. His stamina box is ticked because he's finished sixth and a decent sixth in an Irish National last year. I just like this horse very much. It looks like he's been laid out for it by Thomas Gibney, who knows the time of day. So I am going to go for Velvet Elvis, who's 40 to 1. What do you think of that, G-Rod?
Imagine if Elvis wins the Grand National. Yeah, I mean, that would be brilliant.
It'd be a housewife's choice, wouldn't it? Because he's grey as well. He ticks all those boxes, doesn't he?
It will be. All the Elvis fans will be on him, won't they?
I was rather hoping for an in-depth forensic form analysis from him on his chances rather than that. But, I mean...
he's not really on my radar, I must admit.
Well, get him on there.
He's Tom Gibney, isn't he? I bet one of his the other day in the Irish Grand National didn't run very well. Maybe that's the best I can do for you. But
all right, mate. No worries. Well, listen, if it's not going to be Galvin, I think you said you like Delta Work as well. So can we take it that he's your main danger for the aforementioned reasons? Or are you going
I'm a value punter, really, aren't I? I'm not going to be backing horses as single figures in Grand Nationals.
I just can't do it.
It goes against everything that, you know, it just feels wrong, doesn't it?
There's
40-odd
runners. You used to get Nationals where 15 of them could win and 25 would be a shock, but it's not like that anymore, is it? So I can't be backing anything at single figures. Right then, so if it's not going to be Galvin, who are the others that you fancy?
Well, for a long time, I was asked to do one of these pieces a while back of picking out horses who were 50 to 1 or bigger who could run well. And one of the ones that I put up in there was Lifetime Ambition. I don't see any reason to come away from him. I've backed him then at the time. He's just another lightly raced, sort of unexposed Irish horse coming up through the ranks, isn't he? He's running grade ones. He was third behind the Gold Cup winner Galloping de Champ in the John Durkin over a trip that would have been well short of his optimum. He was second in the Troy Town, which of course is one of the most competitive 3-mile handicap chases of the season at Navan. And had a run over hurdles last time out, which has always been sort of a favoured prep, hasn't it? A little spin over hurdle before then going back over the national fences. So, I'm still with Lifetime Ambition. But I must just say it. Just, I sound like Kills when I do this because I did, when I was asked to put those 51 shots up, I did actually put Ain't That a Shame in there. And he's 8-1 there.
Oh, wow. Very shrewd. Okay. Right then, Jira, thank you for that. Tom, give us your main dangers to your main fancy, which is Our Power.
Yeah, I like, along similar lines, I like Lamilos for the Skelton team. I just mentioned about how good the Skeltons are at priming horses for these big races. It's surely only a matter of time before he wins the Grand National. The form of his Coral Gore Cup win earlier in the season is pretty exceptional, to be honest. Especially bearing in mind, we were told in the build-up to that race that he doesn't want quick ground and stuff. I think the ground officially that day was good, and he still won. So a little bit of cut in the ground, I certainly don't think he'll mind that. The second in that race, Remastered, is £8 higher than the race. The fourth, Corrit Rambler, I know he's well in here, but in terms of a form perspective, he's £9 higher now. The sixth, Ansem's £12 higher. Lamilos just £6 higher. It's because Skelton has put him away after the race. They've clearly identified this as his big target after Newbury. I wasn't as downhearted by his comeback run at Kelso as some. I thought it was a perfectly respectable run to team up for this. He looked like he'd gone clear and won the race. He just got tired in the running. Stamina isn't an issue. I have no stamina qualms about him. I think he'll stay well. I just think that out of the field, I mentioned Our Power, but I think Lamilos is the solid one. I think he'll run really well, and I'm sure firms will be offering plenty of each way places. He's the one who I think is rock solid. The other in and around that 16 to 20 to 1 mark that I like is Capodanno for Willie Mullins. He's another who's only had a couple of runs this season. 10 years ago, no one would have given this horse a prayer. I think he's only had 6 runs over fences. But Noble Yates proved last year that you don't need to have had an awful lot of runs over fences. He's high class. He won the Grade 1 at Punchestown last year. And he finished 4th in the Brown Advisory. and that's turning out to be a really good race. The horse in front of him in third, Guy Adam and Neil, I had on my radar for this. I just think that his Grand National, so to speak, was at Cheltenham. And Capodanno has been, this has been his race that they've kind of panned out for him all season. And yeah, around 20 to 1, I think Capodanno is a really solid bet. And just one at a massive price that might give you a really good spin for your money. Cloudy Glenn, another former Coral Gold Cup winner. He came from a huge layoff. I think it was nearly 400 days off the track when returning in the national trial at Haydock. And what a spin he gave Charlie Deutsch that day. He absolutely tanked round, just got tired in the running. He then ran an absolute stinker at Cheltenham in the Ultima, but he could well have bounced there. And I think if you're willing to forgive his Cheltenham run, he's got that back class about him. He's pretty lightly raced for a 10-year-old. He's a little bit of a risky proposition at the start. He's probably the odds-on favourite for a false start, to be honest. But if he gets away all right and gets up towards the lead, you might get a lovely spin for your money. I think he'll probably get 100 to 1 on the day. And he's just got that back class. So, yeah, I think when you're getting a lot of places each way, I'm happy to have 4 for the race. So
okay, Parky, thank you very much. Cloudy Glenn in the famous Trevor Hemmings colours. Wouldn't that be lovely if that one romped to victory? Jamie, Longhouse Poet is your main fancy. Who are the other horses you want to give a positive mention to?
So, I mean, I feel it would be a great postcast win if Ain't That a Shame got up, because DJ has been banging on about his chances all seasons long, and I'm very much with him. Although 8-1 is mighty skinny all of a sudden. Mm. You know, he was fourth in the Paddy Power, which Manila Times ran in before going and winning the National, and then Max Charm, who he beat afterwards, gave that form a boost at Fairy House. So I think everything makes sense there. It was probably just a matter of 20-1 plus being the wrong price. But that combined with the Rachel factor sees him a bit too short for my liking. So with that in mind, although I think he's still going to run a mighty race and could well win it, I'm going to take a bit of a flyer at one of the massive price in the form of Durasso. So Durasso comes here off 2 runs this year, one over 2 miles at Nace in a grade 3 hurdle, and then one over 2.5 where at Goran, where he was fourth behind Janadil. He clearly, in his 10-year-old age, wants a bit further. He was back in last summer. He was second in the Galway Plate behind Hewick. Hewick ran off 1.55 that day. He's now rated 1.70. So, you know, Durasso is only up £6 for that second. In between that, there was a third in the Kerry National behind Busselton. He's just looked like he wanted to stay further and further. That was a staying performance that day. I wonder whether he's just the type that will improve for the marathon trip. Yes, you could say he might not stay because he hasn't run over it thus far, but every run over 2 miles, 6, 3 miles has indicated that he would appreciate that step up in trip. And, you know, that third in the Kerry National was off 1.52. He runs here off only £2 higher. So I think he's got a right chance for Joseph O'Brien and Luke Dempsey. And he's, yeah, like I say, around the 80-1 shot.
Joseph O'Brien gave that a really good write up in his weekend of stable tour this week.
Did he?
He's quite keen on his chance. I think the better the ground, the better his chances are going to be. I think the worry for them would be if there's a big deluge of rain. But he was quite sweet on him. Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, he does have form on heavy ground, but yeah, definitely from a staying point of view, you'd want it to be good. Which, to be fair, it looks like it might be. They're talking watering. Got all sorts going on.
It'd be good to soft, I think. I mean, regardless of the fact that it's raining now, it's due to peter out. I mean, the forecasts can be wrong, but they'd have to be hideously wrong for there to be much rain, more rain. So I think we can work on the basis of good to soft, personally. Right then, unless anyone's got anything else they want to mention, I'm going to press you for 1, 2, 3s. Graham Rodway.
One, I'm going to go for Galvin. 2, I'm going to go for Lifetime Ambition. And 3, I'm going to go for Delta Work.
Okay, Tom?
Our Power, Le Milos, and Capodanno.
And James?
Longhouse Poet to beat Durasso to beat Ain't That a Shame.
Okay, and I'm going to go Elvis. So Velvet Elvis, number 1. I like Capodanno as well. And I think Guy Adam Maynil, mentioned earlier that might have been his main target, but he was ridden very, very slowly early on, and I think he might not have had as hard a race as people say. So I think he might finish third. That's the National done and dusted. Loads more to come. Keep right here.
Tote Fantasy, proudly sponsoring the Racing Postcast. Daily fantasy racing with real cash prizes up for grabs. A cross between fantasy football and the play spot. Who's in your stable? Visit tote.co.uk/fantasy to find out more. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Postcast. In conjunction with Tote Fantasy, Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, Tom Park and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. We've done the Grand National. There are four races on ITV preceding the big one. The first of those is the 225, which is the Village Hotel's handicap hurdle. Over 3 miles and half a furlong, 22 runners. It really is a hard punting day. Good Time Journey, current favourite at 11-2 for Tony Martin. And then it's 7-1 West Balboa. 9 Antaya, 9 Outlaw Pete, 10 Party Business, 11 Milgreen, 14 Mexico, 16 Bar. Let's see what the extra place situation is. Yet some firms going 7, everyone going at least 5, so that's good. And Tom Park, you're going to go first. Who wins this?
Oh, I'm very keen on Antaya, Bruce. The ground went against him at Cheltenham, so if they did have a lot of rain, hopefully lightning won't strike twice. But he ran a stormer at Cheltenham nonetheless. He was just making his move coming down the hill, and as they took the turn, he's just got they stacked it up, and he was the one who seemed to be inconvenienced the most. The gap closed on him a couple of times then, and then as they kind of jostled for position approaching the last, he just couldn't quite get out. He finished really strongly, he'd be sixth. I just think he's a really, really well handicapped horse for Jonjo O'Neill. And I think with 7 places, God, it'll take a. I can't see him being out the top 5. I think he's got a right chance here.
Antaya, right. Thank you, Parky. G-Rod, who do you like?
I like Dallas de Pictons. He's 100-1. He's absolutely massive price. Now, it's a long time since he showed any form, right? But you go back to last summer and he beat Ronald Pump in a race at Cork over 3 miles, a hurdle race. He had no right to beat Ronald Pump. He's a useful type. And he was second behind the boss's Oscar on good ground at Limerick on his previous run. Now, if he can reproduce that sort of form, I don't think he's out of it. He's since transferred from Gordon Elliott to Diane Sayer, which is probably... Well, I don't think he'd be 100-1 here if he were trained by Gordon Elliott, that's for sure. But he hasn't run too badly a couple of times since going to Sayer. He was a good second over fences at Carlisle in October, again on his favour, good ground. And they gave him a break and no doubt thinking about coming back to try and go for one of these big spring prizes. 98 days off the track they gave him. Well beaten first time up, probably needed the run at Kelso. And then last time out was on heavy ground at Carlisle, and he ran sort of a weird race where he was there, then he got sort of towed, and then he was coming back at the finish. He didn't look like he'd lost all of his ability, I didn't think, especially considering heavy ground won't suit him at all. If it stays dry, I think he's got a really good chance of at least being placed. You said, what, 5, 6, 7 places, 100-1. Brian Hughes is riding him as well, champion jockey, 101 outsider. So that's the one for me each way, Dallas de Picton.
Brilliant stuff. You're so casual when you tip these 100-1 shots, G-Rod. I was thinking, the way you're going, yeah, I'm really sweet on Dallas de Picton. I'm scrolling down and going, what is this thing?
Well, it's like I back them every week, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Jamie, follow that.
Well, I mean, with the fantasy stable in mind, I'm not...
I was going to say, yeah, how much is that? Tuppence?
I think they pay you to pick it. slightly with more of a fantasy head on than the punting head. The punting head would definitely... I'm just going to follow G-Rod in Dallas de Picton. 100-1, don't need to be right many times for those ones. But I couldn't believe when I saw that Good Time Johnny was only £5 higher than for when winning the Potemps. I'm not really one for backing favourites in these mad competitive handicap hurdles, but you know, I'd say 11-2 for a £5 rise seems more than fair enough. He won it with all sorts in hand. Small concern would be the slightly sharper track, but I'm into the minority that maybe thinks that his ride wasn't quite as optimal as it might have looked, and maybe if he was ridden slightly more forward, I suspect he would have just won by further. So I think Good Time Johnny still has a load in hand. He could even shape into a stayers hurdle horse next year, especially if he was to be winning this off a mark of 147. But Antaya was also the last one off the shortlist, so I suspect I'm going to be siding with Tom in the fantasy stable, and then going and backing Dallas PA.
Well, you say that, but I think we might need to have Dallas in just to free up some budget. We'll see. 3 o'clock entry is the Turner's Mersey Novices Hurdle, a grade one over 2.5 miles. We have 15 runners. I'm sure some firms are very generous with the extra places. At the moment, there's a mixture of 3 or 4, but keep your eye on the market for any developments there. 4-1 Hermes Allen is favourite. 5-1 Dark Raven. 11-2 You Wear It Well. 7-1 Irish Point. 10 Springwell Bay. 12, Let's Be Clear About It, and 14, Bar Graham Rodway goes first.
Great race this, isn't it? We've got some Irish second division novices coming over, facing two of the better ones of the British. I think the British should be too good for them. I mean, Dark Raven was well beaten at Cheltenham, and Irish Point was behind Dark Raven at Leopardstown previous time. So I'll be quite confident that this is going to go to Britain. It's just which one, isn't it? Hermes Allen or You Wear It Well. Now, Hermes Allen beat You Wear It Well at Newbury senseless, but I think You Wear It Well is just a different horse now. She's one of these progressive mares in the spring. Once they get going and they get a bit of sun on their back, you know, they just get better and better and better. And I think that You Wear It Well will reverse the form with Hermes Allen on these conditions at this time of year. She's looked very, very good in the last two runs, obviously bolted up at Sandown over this distance, and then went on to win the Mares Novices Hurdle, beating Magical Zoe. And she was so strong at the line that day, You Wear It Well. She jumped so well. She was very, very powerful as they went past the line. She reminds me a little bit of Love en Voir, who of course won the same race last year. She's just, you know, she's going to turn up, she's going to jump well, she's going to wear her heart on her sleeve, she's going to really put it up to them, and it's going to take a very, very good horse to beat her, especially given her £7. I'll be very disappointed if You Wear It Well doesn't go very close to winning.
Is that proven, that theory about these kind of solar powered horses, that, you know, the female horses, that when they get the sun on their back, they improve? It just sounds very sort of mythy to me.
I don't know, actually. That's a good question, Bruce. I mean, I would actually like to put this through some horsey people, because I'm trying to pretend, obviously, that I'm a horsey person, but I, you know, I've never seen a horse, I've never really touched a horse in my life. I've certainly not been on one, far too scared. But I mean, if you ask horsey people like about this theory, they will tell you that fillies like it in the spring when they get the sun. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Right then, Tom Park.
When the entries came out, I was keen to take Hermes Allen on, but I thought he'd be about 7-4, 6-4 shot. He's like twice that price here. I'm not convinced Dark Raven wants 2.5 mile. He travelled pretty sweetly into the Supreme, but to my eyes, didn't get home anyway. I also think the Ballymore was probably a better race than the Supreme, maybe bar the Fasal Vega and Marine Nationale, but I think the horses in behind in the Ballymore were better than the likes of those in the Supreme. You Wear It Well is definitely interesting and is one that was on my radar. I just don't know if I can... Hermes Allen beat You Wear It Well hard on the bridle in the shallow at Newbury earlier in the season. And if you can forgive him the below par run at Cheltenham in what was a very good race, I think he's just about the one. If the ground was pretty quick, Springwell Bay is interesting from an each way perspective, but I just think that Hermes Allen will be too good for these. And I think you're getting a fair price as well.
Okay. Jamie, are you a horsey person?
I would ride
a horse. Can you gallop along on a horse?
Yeah, not quite as well anymore, and I'm certainly a few stone overweight than I used to be.
Have you ever galloped on a racehorse?
On a retired racehorse, yeah.
Have not you?
No, that was a while
You've
ago.
You've never
now.
Ridden like first lot, no?
No, geez, no. I mean, they would have to be mighty fit to withstand my bulk.
But you have galloped on a horse. Well, that makes you a far more of a horsey person than G-Rod by the sound of it. Anyway, regardless of whether you're going to go with the G-Rod theory of sun on their back or you're going to stick to the form, let's see what you fancy.
I mean, I think the sun on the back, especially with fillies, is definitely a thing. You know, we all like a bit of sun. You sort of go into your shell
a bit.
You're
not a filly. You're male and you like a bit of sun. So why is it gender related?
I actually hate the sun. National Hunt. I think I'm going to take a chance on Irish Point here, just on account of the fact that Irish Point also is the most confusingly named horse because he came from France. Running in like graded juvenile races, never seen a point field in his life, but I thought hit that form with Marin National might be in the Royal Bond, might be some of the best juvenile form, novice form going around this year. He then was beaten in the Laws of Nace by Champ Kylie, but Champ Kylie had it all his way that day out in front. They had a few hurdles taken out, and then over 2 miles at Leopardstown, I think was too short for him. And then he won the Mickey Mouse race last time, although the form's sort of holding up. Anyway, I think 2.5 will suit him down to the ground. He might want further in time. And just, you know, I think around the 6-7-1 mark, I like the angle of coming in without too much of a hard race at Cheltenham. And I think he's going to go close. They also love him in the yard. And when Gordon likes one, he tends to be right. So Irish Point will do for me.
3:35 entry, the JRL Group Liverpool Hurdle, grade one, 3 miles, half a furlong, 10 runners, 140 grand to the winner. Fantastic. And it is wide open. Marie's Rock currently 4-1 favourite. Then it's 5-1 Flooring Porter. 11-2 Sire de Burleigh, who ended up being the king of the Stayers Hurdle at the festival. 6-1 home by the lead. 8 champ. 17-2 Dashiell Drasher. 10 meet and greet and 16 bar. What a race, Tom Park.
Yeah, very good race. Take your pick. I mean, I've always been a big fan of Marie's Rock, but she was a little bit disappointing at Cheltenham, I thought. She would have been my nap for the whole festival had she run in the Stayers. But you would think that I would be quite keen on her, but there was something about her run in the mare that I just didn't like. And
She finished seventh.
Say again, sorry, Bruce.
Well, she finished seventh. I mean, it's not a lot to like with that one, was it?
Yeah,
like,
no, exactly. Yeah.
Comparatively good mares, but
it was a bit of a stinker.
I'm surprised she's fav here, I've got to say.
Get a bit of sun on her back, Bruce.
Oh, I guess so. But I mean, there's a bit of hendomania going on there. And also, I think possibly people saw maybe Shishkin getting, you know, revived from Cheltenham to enter and putting two and two together. But I must say, she didn't seem the most appealing fav to me. But you're the experts.
Before she went on her kind of like winning run, she was one who did throw in the odd sulk. And I just wonder whether she can be a bit stroppy at times. And I think she's a very risky proposition at the price she is. The one that I like is Home by the Lee. He made a catastrophic error at the sixth flight. It was only when I was reading the Joseph O'Brien stable tour and he mentioned it that I actually looked it back. And it was one hell of a clout that he gave the hurdle. He kind of like slithered onto his back legs and reared his head. And he lost a few positions. He ended up being wide for the rest of the race. But he didn't give up. I mean, he was bang there going down the hill. They turned in and approaching the last, he just got caught for a bit of tow. And then he absolutely motors up the hill. I mean, he disappeared out the back of the TV as the front four fought out the finish. And then he gets to within a neck of Florian Porter by the line. So I think you can really mark him up for that. He's progressing at a rapid rate of knots this season. He was always a horse that didn't really travel through his races, your typical kind of Stayers Hurdle type. But he's got better with his travel in each race this season. And as I said, that mistake at Cheltenham was a big, big error. And he did remarkably well to finish fifth. I just think he's a really good bet, actually, at 6-1. I mean,
lovely stuff. Thank you, Parky. Excellent home by the leaf for Parky. Who for you, G-Rod?
You know, I I'm going to tip Dashiell Dresher, right, because I don't like changing my mind. But I, just as Parky was talking there, something hit me, but I'll tell you that in a minute. But Dashiell Dresher must run well here. You know, he loves Aintree. He's got some really good form at the track. He won here in November. He was second in one of the strongest races of the whole season behind Noble Yates over fences here. I thought he shaped like the best horse in that Stayers Hurdle. He was a bit unlucky not to win it. He looked like he had the race won all ends up, didn't he? And then he just got run down near the line up the uphill finish. I think this flatter track will suit him better.
And then criminally demoted to third, thankfully rescinded on appeal. That was really harsh, that. Christ, when you look at what goes on race courses, to do that to him was awful, I thought.
Yeah, that must have put a bit of a sour note on it for connections, mustn't it? But they put the cheap pieces on, and I think that he'll run very well, and he's my original six. But just while Parky was talking, I've just got to throw this out there, because I've been saying it a lot recently, and I think it's true. You see a lot of Henderson horses run big figures off long breaks, and then they don't back it up. And Champ is an absolute prime example of a horse who does that. He comes in off a long break, he runs a huge race, wins, and then next time out he's disappointing, and then you know he's just coming in here, isn't he, off a long break, 110 days. I could see him suddenly big figure tomorrow, running, going really big, maybe even winning, and then you know you might not see him win another race for a while. But I'm not going to change my mind and stick with Dashiell Dresher, because I mean you know what you're going to get with him. He just always runs well, and I like horses like him.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse, Dashiell Dresher. Would certainly deserve that. But there's a lot of good ones, a lot of old fabs in this race. Jamie, who are you going to pick?
I sort of agree with G-Rod. It's one of these races where it's so muddling, you can go around in circles as much as you like. But I'm just going to try to keep it as simple as I can and just go with the 1-2 of the Stayers Hurdle again, in that I think Sardar Berle could beat Dashiell Dresher. You know, Sardar Berle won this race last year where he'd had a worse season against a better Flooring Porter, and he still won. And then he's coming here having won the Stayers Hurdle, and he's third in the market. I think that's probably not right. Every chance that he runs a massive race again. And Dashiell Dresher, the slightly sharper track, will probably suit, you know, first time pieces. You can see him going out and putting a bold show in from the front. I think those two probably come home the 1-2 again.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. Sardar Berle is an amazing horse, and he just confounds age, confounds doubters. Very, very good. 4:15, the race before the Nash, is the William Hill Handicap Chase over 3 miles and 1 furlong. We've got 15 runners, and Midnight River is favourite at 13-2 for the Skeltons. Beauport is 7, Nassalam is 7, Shake 'em Up Ari is 15-2, El Dorado Allen 9-1, Kinondo Quetu is 10s, it's 14s bar. You can get 5 places with some firms, 4 with everybody else, and G Roddy's going to go first. Who do you like?
I'm reluctantly going with the favourite, because I think that he's the best handicapped horse in the race, Midnight River. And he should stay this trip. I mean, last season he was third in a 3-mile novice handicap race, traditionally a very strong race at Uttoxeter. And he was clear of the fourth, and I thought he definitely stayed. And this season, obviously, he's come out and run 2 really good races, one behind Garlaw, and then he won one of those big 2-mile, 4-furlong handicap chases at Cheltenham over Christmas. Last time out, he was disappointing back at Cheltenham at the festival. Don't know what happened there, but they've slapped the tongue tie on here, which half makes me think that maybe he made a noise coming down the hill, because he was going quite well as they came down the hill, and he was just weak up the finish. The reason I say reluctantly is that every bone in my body tells me that them slapping a tongue tie on is not a good sign. And I've checked the stats, and Skelton's only got an 8% strike rate when he snaps on the tongue strap. So that is the reason for the reluctance. But I have to back the best horse, handicapped horse in the race, because I just think that's, you know, a good MO. And I think Midnight River is. I just got to shout out for Harry, though. You know, Harry must want to win this race, mustn't he? Because he's got Shake 'em Up, Harry. He's got Carl Philippe. And he's got a share in Bow to Greatness. He's got, I think, three. I don't know if he's got shares in any of the others, but he must want to win this race. So good luck to Harry Redknapp. I wonder if he'll be up there for the Grand National. Probably will be, won't he?
Every chance, I would have thought, yeah. Okay, thank you, G-Rod. Tom Park, who's your idea of the winner here?
Yeah, very. It's as if G-Rod's copied my notes. Similar vein to him. I'm siding with Midnight River. I don't think it's not a race I've been going mad on. I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race. I just don't think that he's got 5 or 6 pounds in hand. But then I think the entire field look a little bit exposed, and I'm not quite sure any of them have got all that in hand, really. Nassalam was the other one that I was kind of toying with. I backed him at Cheltenham where he ran a bit of a stinker. But yeah, I think Midnight River's run at Cheltenham last time wasn't as bad as it seems. When you look at his form figures and you see that zero, you automatically think, oh, he must have run quite poorly. He didn't run that badly. And I just think that, yeah, he's probably got a few pounds in hand in that of the handicapper. The Skeletons love him. And I remember after he won that race at Cheltenham, they were just like, he's one of the yard favourites. So yeah, I think Midnight River is the solid one here, yeah.
Thank you, Parky. Two votes for Midnight River. Do you agree with the boys, Jamie?
So I'm siding with Coconut Splash here. He's a small cliff horse for me. I haven't actually backed him that many times, but I've always loved him as a horse. He just looks like a really well-handicapped one. He was once rated off 137, was second to Chantry House back in the day, also second to Messier de Zobo. That's some top form. And it just looks like one that's always had a big race in him. I'm hoping it's here. I'm hoping it's today. But definitely in terms of the fantasy stable, I think Midnight River goes in for the lads, and I'll just punt Coconut Splash by myself.
Lovely stuff. Thank you, gents. That's the Aintree TV races done. Let's see what else the boys fancy in just a jiffy.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the final part of the postcasts in association with Tote Fantasy. It's Bruce Millington, Graham Rodway, Tom Park and Tote Fantasy's Jamie Benson. Right then, away from Aintree, what else is worth backing this weekend? We'll get your other thoughts, then we'll get the Tote Fantasy team sorted out, and then we'll finish up with the naps. Tom, have you got anything else for us, or are you just so fixated on the Aintree TV action you haven't even had time to suss anything else?
Yeah, I'm all in on Aintree, Bruce. I'll let G-Rod talk you through the rest all of right. The winners for the weekend.
Jamie, before G-Rod does that, anything else you want to add?
Probably just to say that we've got the two other the bookend races at Aintree.
Oh yeah, what are the other races for the competition? Yeah.
So we've got the 145, which is the Maggle Novices Chase, where you've got John Bonn at a short order against really not very much. So we might try and sneak him into the fantasy team somehow, with everything else being reasonably cheap. And then you've got the bumper to finish. It used to be that conditional jockey's handicap hurdle, but that's now on the Friday, so we end with a nice little bumper. So might be worth thinking about those if anyone's got a view on them.
That's a very good point. Right, well, perhaps Tom could give some thought to that. In the meantime, G-Rod, what else do you like? I'm sure you've got a few more for us, haven't you?
Yeah, I always go around the tracks on a Saturday. You know, I do love like a big multiple across the tracks, you know, just for small stakes, maybe 8 or 9, a few trebles, just for a bit of interest. So in the 6:20 at Aintree, which is the bumper that Jamie's talking about, I like Centara for Paul Nichols, who won this race 2 of the last 3 seasons with McFabulous and Nappers Hill. I think he swerves the Cheltenham bumper and just runs his best bump horse in this one. Centara looked very, very good when winning a bumper at Taunton on his debut last month. It was just after Cheltenham, but you won't see many much easier winner than Centara. And I think that he's going to go very close in that race. Then we're off to the 135 at Newcastle, which is a novice hurdle. I quite like Sound and Fury. Ben Pauling's in really good form at the moment. He's absolutely flying. And this one was second in a hot contest last time out in Newbury behind the Carpenter. It previously looked very good when he won at Fontwell. I think he'll have a class edge over them in that. And in the first race, I always have one on the all weather in the evening. You know, just as I'm settling down on a Saturday night, you know, you've got the takeaway coming in. I like to just have one to set me up for the night. And it's in the 5:30, Martha Mill. Again, Clive Cox, another trainer who's absolutely bombing along for such an early start. start the part of the season. Disappointed in what was quite a hot race at Bath on that day when they had loads of prize money and they had loads of runners. But it's a weird track, isn't it, Bath? And I don't think the track suited him. The trainer said that the ground wasn't ideal. I think you can put a line through that run at Bath a couple of weeks ago. Two previous runs on the all-weather, it looked like he was steadily progressing. And I think he can get off the mark in the 5 furlong handicap back on the all-weather after that poor run on soft turf last time at Bath. So that's Martha Mill and the 5:30 at Wolves.
Thank you, Gerard. And what does Saturday night in the Rodway household look like? What takeaway is your
favour? Well, I would always favour the curry, you see, but it's not always the favoured option of the missus. You know, I think she would usually go for the Chinese. So it can be quite a heated debate on a Saturday night sometimes. Well, but, you know, if I've backed the Grand National winner and I'm chock full of cash, I'm sure I'll get the say.
And do you go Anton Deck and the Masked Singer, or do you go off piece with your?
Well,
TV
yeah, I mean the kids absolutely love the Masked Singer, don't they?
How's it so popular? How on earth is it so popular?
They love the Masked Singer. You know, I mean, it's the one show that the kids will sit down. They want to pick out which singer it is, but I don't know if that's. I think Anton Deck's finished, hasn't it? So we'll have to find a new Saturday night show. But yeah, it's always a great Saturday night in. I don't think you can beat, especially if you back the Grand National winner.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, G-Rod. Right then, let's tackle the Tote Fantasy this week. As we always say, if you go to tote.co.uk, on the top right of the homepage, there's a button marked Tote Fantasy. Click that. It's £7. You've got to pick a horse in each of 7 races. Great fun. And you can win big cash prizes. And like I say, the team did really well last week. Who was the hero of the team last week, would you say, Jamie? Who do you attribute all the success to?
To be fair, it was a proper team effort. The one that probably nudged us into the decent money was stable starring Guido, the DJ Knapp. So that made all the difference. But no, G-Rod chipped in with some decent points at Haydock. It was a proper team effort. It was
nice,
heartwarming.
Good. Yeah, I bet. Well, I mean, we've drawn a complete blank so far. So let's see if we can keep it going. So have you drafted a team for us?
Jamie, I do.
Run through that, and then Tom and G-Rod can put in any appeals that they might want to make, and then we can finalise it. What have we got so far?
Yeah, so the main sort of point of contention is I've tried to squeeze John Bon in at odds on, and he's 5,000 guineas, so that's half our budget, because that's a bit of a Mickey Mouse race. But anyway, I'll ping through that, and as a result, we've had to duck out of a couple like Antoya in favour of Dallas Depicton and things like that. So to sneak in under budget.
If Dallas Depicton wins, Jamie, we'll win the whole thing, won't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the only one who's got him.
We will be one of one. That is for certain.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, we've got to go with Dallas. Come on then. Right. So we've got John Bon to kick us off.
So yeah, 145 John Bon. Then we've got 225 Dallas Depicton. 3 o'clock. I think we've got You Wear It Well. 3:35. We've got Dashiell Drasher, just because he's cheaper than Home by Lee. He's only 7:50.
I'm all over that.
4:15, Midnight River. Both were in agreement there, which is nice. 5:15, The Nash. I've gone with Tom's R Power because we were slightly G-Rod heavy.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, I could see Tom. I could imagine Tom's hackles rising.
Yeah.
He's quite a feisty character, Tom. If he didn't go with our power, he was going to suddenly start having a big moan up with that Macklin voice.
Well, I think it would be fair enough. I'm sad to not be able to get Antoyer in as well, because I quite fancy him as well. And then we end with Centara in the bumper for
Oh, that
G-Rod.
Sounds pretty good. Any complaints there, Tom? You happy with that? You've got the
No, I'm happy with that. I understand my place in the pecking order, Bruce.
No, not at all. It's not like that at all. No, it's equal. G-Rod, are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah, very happy with that. Yeah, we've got almost all my selections in it, haven't we?
Yeah, you should be, yeah.
Are we doing the Stewards Inquiry and the Star?
Tom's going to do the Stable Star and the Stewards Inquiry, because he came off slightly worst on that. So, Tom,
can I just request, though, that Dashiell Drasher, I mean, he always finishes second, don't
Yeah.
He?
So do you want him as the Stewards Inquiry?
It would make sense, wouldn't it? Because if he finishes second all the time.
Let's see what Parky
thinks.
Right?
Come on.
I'm a big fan of Dashiell Drasher. I like him.
So we'll have the Stewards Inquiry on him. Don't forget, with the Stewards Inquiry, if you name any horse your Stewards Inquiry, he or she automatically finishes a place further up. So I think I think, to be fair, G-Rod, you're very sensible there. Yeah. I think that makes like total sense. And then who's going to be the stable star then, Parky?
The stable star can be, I was going to call him Midnight Shadow, but he's not Midnight
Midnight
Shadow.
River.
Midnight River.
I think Midnight River, yeah, because you both agree on that.
Yeah. Brilliant. And also when it's in the bigger field races like that, you get more points for the more runners. So if that does win and it's stable starred, you'll get a good sort of 50 odd plus points. So no, I really like that.
Excellent. And have we got a Racing Post mini league again this week, Jamie?
Yeah, absolutely. Link in the description. Get involved. We're giving away 50 quid in tote credit to whoever wins the Racing Post mini league. So it's worth getting involved.
Oh, yeah. And we had a nice tweet, didn't we, from someone who played the Racing Post league yesterday and won a few quid, I think. What was he called? Did you see that one?
Yeah, exactly. That's very true. I should have
Tom,
given him a shout out.
Tom, I think he's good, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah. Give him a shout out. That's it. Yeah. Tom Riley. Good for him. Right then. Okay. I think we're all done apart from the naps. So if you are only going to back one horse this weekend, who's it going to be? Jamie Benson, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go ahead and tip up Longhouse Poet in the Nash.
In the 5:15 Aintree, Longhouse Poet. You got a nap in the National, haven't you? G-Rod?
You wear it well in the 3 o'clock at Aintree.
He says on the back of me going, you got to have a nap in the Nash. And finally, Parky.
Antalya in the 2:25 Aintree.
Brilliant stuff. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your input. Good luck with the Grand National. Let's hope it's a great race. Jamie, Tom and Graham, thanks so much. Thank you to producer Sam, who will be presenter Sam next Saturday, looking ahead to the Scottish National. So we hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, don't forget, go on and have a go at Tote Fantasy. Great fun for just £7. And we will be back for another podcast next Friday.